is Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios, everybody. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you as always. And I always say as always, but yeah. I just feel like
you're not wrong.
Thanks for joining us today on this Tuesday afternoon. I remind you, we are live from the Fantasy Sports Network studios. So as things develop, we will try and bring them to you. And the reason that I'm prefacing it like this is because we are going to start with the curious case of Derrick Rose. He kind of stole all the headlines last night with his absence in the New York Knicks, New Orleans Pelicans game. The game itself was a bit of a disaster. Carmelo Anthony got ejected again. He leads the league in ejections. Kyle O'Quinn showed his true colors, injuring Anthony Davis after he pushed him in the back and sent him flying into the first row. But we're going to start with Derrick.
Thanks, Kyle O'Quinn.
Yeah, seriously. But we're going to start with Derrick Rose because he reported for morning shoot-around.
Yeah.
And then usually shows up 2 hours before his game, which was at 7:30, so they expected him at 5:30. He did not show up, and no one knew where he was. He didn't tell anyone where he was going. Friends couldn't reach him. The team couldn't reach him. The team had no comment. They played the entire game without him. And then Joakim Noah, his teammate from Chicago, I've known him since 2008. They've played together since then, said he's fine.
Yeah.
Didn't elaborate on any details, but said he's okay.
Said he talked to him after the game, and that was exactly it. He said he's okay, but then that was it. There's a lot of jokes on Twitter that, you know, Rose looked at the schedule, saw NO there, and said, oh, no game. I'm not going to show up. Oh, no, it stands for New Orleans Pelicans. A lot of people just want to be, they just don't like Rose. They're just hating on him all the time. We don't have details. Obviously, that's all we have, what you just said. So we'll like step back a little bit here and just try to let it play itself out. I'm sure we'll hear more news. There's some rumors that he's not happy, you know, with his playing time with the Knicks. A lot of heat. Obviously, this guy's been dinged up for almost his whole career since he won MVP.
This year he's been fairly healthy, though. He's missed a few games with back spasms, but otherwise he's been in the mix. The team itself has not been good before the fourth quarter where they blew up for 30 points. They only had 66 points against the New Orleans Pelicans, who we don't need to tell you is not necessarily a great team. They really ride on Anthony Davis's shoulders. It's just interesting to me. You mentioned the team is kind of a disaster. They've lost 8 of 9.
Yeah.
Rose had been benched in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee and against the Pacers, which is something he was not happy about. Business-wise, though, because we can't really talk about what's going on with Rose.
Well, we have no idea.
We don't want to speculate in case it is something that ends up being very serious. You don't want to make light of a situation like that. However, looking forward to next season as a free agent, business-wise, this is really bad for business. It's extremely unprofessional. It's extremely disrespectful to your teammates, to your organization, to your coaches. And I think it says a lot about him, because if you're not going to show up and that's the decision that you've made, whether you get permission or not, you need to let someone know. And it's extremely unprofessional, and I think that looks really, really bad on him.
Yeah, it does. And again, maybe we'll hear something else later today and we'll like step back a little bit, but I don't have anything positive to say about Derrick Rose. I mean, not even from this situation. From a fantasy perspective, he should never be on your team. He shouldn't be somebody that you want to draft. Even in the last round, I wouldn't draft this guy. He just has issues staying on the court. He has attitude issues. And again, I don't want to speculate, so we have to just start thinking about maybe he leaves the team for an extended period of time. Maybe he gets suspended in this situation. Maybe he just doesn't play in the next couple of games. So we have to take a look again at Brennan Jennings, as somebody we talked about here on this network before. If you look at his game logs, it's kind of disappointing. He has some good games, and then he has other games where he only plays 3 minutes. He played one game where he had 19 minutes. It didn't do anything. Had zero shots, zero assists, zero rebounds, maybe turned the ball over once. Probably the only time he touched the ball. But we have to look at him as just a DFS play when the Knicks play, and a pickup in like 12, 14 team leagues. I struggled to grab him in a league when I picked up Tim Hardaway Jr. We'll talk about him with Nick Whalen from RotoWire today and what it means with Atlanta with Kyle Korver out. But for Derrick Rose, I mean, you have him on your roster, you just kind of hold on to him and you see what happens, but the outlook for him, it doesn't seem all that good.
The forecast is not bright.
It's not
There's
bright.
There's no sun in the horizon. It's mostly cloudy with periods of rain.
But Jennings has opportunity. Like, he has put up decent games before where he should be on your radar.
We've seen him have some good games, especially in preseason. He was very, very good, and that's
why
a lot of people picked him up as kind of a handcuff to Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
For Anthony Davis, he ended up being okay. He got x-rays on his hip. He has a bruise. They don't play until Thursday against Brooklyn, so there is an opportunity for him to rest if he is injured.
Yeah, he probably may rest.
But he had a huge game, 40, 18, and 3 blocks before he went out in the third quarter, so he remains as relevant as ever, even though the MVP conversation largely surrounds James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Anthony Davis is someone who's up there in minutes, points, and rebounds every single night.
It's just the team is not very good.
Exactly.
That's the one problem. But, I mean, they do have some help. You know, Terrence Jones is somebody that's been getting a lot of traction lately, getting picked up in leagues. But everybody we're about to talk about in this first block is pretty fragile. Terrence Jones is one of those guys who hasn't been able to stay on the court. His minutes over the last four games, like 14, 16, 18, 18. Then they got Donatas Mateunas, who, you know, has been, again, getting a lot of traction on the waiver wire. A lot of people are picking him up. 2014 was a decent season for him. He averaged 12 and 5. I don't expect a whole lot, but this is something the Pelicans needed. Somebody, some presence down low as opposed to just Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. They have some sharpshooters on the outside, so they needed some rim protectors. Mateunas is one of those guys, but he's not somebody that I'm rushing to go and pick up off the waiver wire. He's just somebody that I would play in DFS. His minutes are going to continue to rise. If Davis was to miss significant time, which we've seen before in the past, then Mateunas will be a nice add, but in a 12-team league, there's nobody I want to drop him in any of my rosters for him.
The Chicago Bulls are going to be without their two big stars, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, not playing for various reasons. Butler, we saw him, he was ill, I guess you could say, against OKC, but still tried, didn't have a good game, so he'll rest tonight due to illness, and then Dwayne Wade is scheduled just for a rest day, a maintenance day. What that means is Doug McDermott is going to get the
start. You don't think Rondo's going to play?
I don't even want to talk about Rajon Rondo at this point.
What I read this morning, Rondo could potentially play. It's like, yeah, right. This guy's played, he's missed five straight games now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going to happen with him? Why isn't he playing?
Well, even if he does play, he's still so far down the depth chart that I don't think you can rely on him having substantial minutes to get value back when you're paying for him on DFS platforms. But as I was saying, Doug McDermott will start double-digit scoring in four of his last six games. Michael Carter-Williams, Jerian Grant will be the point guards ahead of Rondo.
That's crazy.
The situation's interesting. We are going to talk to Nick Whalen about it, as you mentioned, and see his take on this. Do you kind of just leave the Bulls alone because there is so much unanswered questions in that organization at this point?
I like Nikolai Mirotic. I think he has decent games when some of these guys don't show up. MCW getting playing time over Rondo and Jerian Grant, I mean, it is crazy to me. I know MCW has put up some decent games. He's flirted before with triple-doubles, and he's had them before, and a lot of turnovers as well. But yeah, this is a situation you probably have to see play out, but I'm in on Mirotic. I'm really confused with this whole Rondo situation. I want something to happen. I want him to get traded, released, cut from the team, just anything. I just like figure it out.
Chris Watson, you gotta do it,
and more basketball news, Andrew Bogut. Like, just bubble wrap this guy and put him on the sidelines until trade deadline day, and then you can just trade him, because everybody knows he's going to be traded from the Mavericks, who are having like abysmal season. They're not doing anything. He doesn't have chemistry with Dirk Nowitzki. Like, he's not playing at the same time Dirk is playing. Dirk's been playing at the five. Harrison Barnes been playing at the four. Don't roster Bogut. Just drop him altogether. He's a great defensive player, but his stats don't show up in the fantasy box score. So as another guy who just left last night's game.
Yeah, be careful if you're going to just think that Dwight Powell is going to seamlessly jump in that position.
It's not a given.
Because as you mentioned, Dirk Nowitzki is playing some five with Harrison Barnes playing the four. So Powell, even though he might get some minutes, they're going to be spot minutes, and it's not going to be in a traditional just fill in and play for Bogut if he's out. Just some additional news. We do have to go. Colby Rasmus signed a one-year $5 million deal with Tampa with an additional $2 million in various incentives.
I'm sure we'll talk about him throughout the season. He's not going to be a guy that I'm going to draft, but he's inside a good division. You know, he'll hit a home run every other time he plays against the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center, but he'll be somebody that we'll talk about mid-season as someone who's streaky with home runs. We saw it last year with Houston, but he shouldn't be on your draft radar.
NBA DFS with Nick Whalen coming up after the break. This is Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, it's time for some NBA DFS. 9 games on the hardwood tonight, with 6 to have projected point totals of over 210 points. The game leading the way, Charlotte at Houston, 223 points combined. We'll see what Nick Whalen has to say about that. We welcome him in now. Nick Whalen from RotoWire, of course. Hi, sir. How's it going?
It's going well, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, thanks for showing up. Nick, one thing I like about RotoWire, I like a lot about your guys' site, but one thing that you can really just, there's a lot of cool tools. You can go in and look at not just DraftKings, FanDuel, points against per position, last 5 games, last 10 games. 10 games to me gives a real nice take of what teams, how they're trending. And one team we always like to pick on, certainly me and the DFS community, is the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, they're giving up a lot of points to point guards, shooting guards, big man, all across the board, but an intriguing team as well. The Atlanta Hawks, these two teams facing off tonight. Atlanta, of course, just traded Kyle Korver. There's some rumors about Paul Millsap being dealt. Kind of shut down yesterday about Paul Millsap not getting traded is what Atlanta's saying right now. But talk to me about all these players and Tim Hardaway Jr., who's getting a lot of traction, being picked up in a lot of seasonal formats.
Yeah, I think Hardaway is kind of the obvious guy with Kyle Korver now out of the picture. And we saw him play 26 minutes on Thursday against New Orleans. That was the game basically where, you know, until about 20 minutes before tip-off, we thought Kyle Korver was going to play. And then news of the pending trade came through. He's ultimately held out. So a little bit of a minutes increase there for Hardaway, although he has been playing, you know, of late. You know, we saw even going back to mid-December. You know, he was often in the low 30s, high 20s in terms of minute totals. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, around this time last year, you kind of wondered, is he going to even be in the NBA, you know, in a calendar year? Someone who had kind of flunked out, I guess, for a lack of better term, with the New York Knicks. And now he's in a pretty good spot here to see some increased minutes going forward. He played 31 minutes in Dallas on Saturday. I have heard, though, that, you know, the decision to move Korver, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, we need to get more minutes for Tim Hardaway. It's, you know, we also want to develop these two rookies that we have, Torian Prince and DeAndre Bembry, who they like quite a bit. The question to me is, how ready are those two guys going to be? Because, you know, as you mentioned, Atlanta essentially pulling Paul Millsap off the trade market, you know, would kind of imply that they're not quite ready to go into the tank with this season. And, you know, you look right now, they're in playoff position in the Eastern Conference. I mean, this is a team that, as currently assembled, will probably make the playoffs. So they're in a bit of a limbo. They've kind of been in this spot as a franchise for, you know, almost the last decade, if you want to go back to the Joe Johnson years. So kind of a crossroads, I guess, for this Atlanta team. But for the time being, it looks like they're going to keep it together.
Yeah, they've won six straight ball games.
I was going to say, they've won six in a row, although they have played every team that they've played and won besides the Spurs has yet to meet the 20-win mark. They have records under 500. But going forward, for DFS purposes, if you want to mine from the Atlanta Hawks, they have the Celtics, Bucks, Knicks, and then Detroit coming up. So they seem to be a lucrative team. And I know they pulled Paul Millsap off the trading block, but there's still 45 days to the trade deadline. So a lot can happen during that time. Let's talk about the Bulls a little bit, because Chris and I were talking about Rajon Rondo. Yeah. We don't know what's going on with him. Is he going to play? Marco Carter-Williams, Jerry and Grant have jumped over him in the depth chart. No Jimmy Butler, no Dwayne Wade. Doug McDermott's going to get the start. Is this a situation that you're going to try and sort out yourself, or is this a team maybe in this case today that you want to avoid because the minutes could just be everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to avoid them, you know, entirely. I think McDermott makes for a strong play. I think, you know, even against all my intuition and years of watching Michael Carter-Williams in Milwaukee, I do kind of like him here. Like you said, no Jimmy Butler, no Dwayne Wade. You know, neither of those guys are point guards, but at the same time, you know, Michael Carter-Williams is a guy that has the size to play off the ball, and I think it's going to result in more minutes and more specifically more playmaking duties for him, because, you know, when Dwayne Wade's on the court, you know, he acts as the primary ball handler at the two guard spot more so than most shooting guards do. So you're losing a ton of production with both of those guys sitting out. So in the short term, yeah, I do like a lot of these, you know, these guys who are usual just kind of nominal players for the Chicago Bulls. But, you know, guys like McDermott, MCW, Jerry and Grant, we'll probably see more of Nikola Mirotic at the three tonight. So I do like there, you know, in terms of DFS, you're going to be saving a lot of money with those guys. Long term, I don't know what to make of this Bulls team. I mean, this is a team that came out of the gates through the first 10, 15 games, looked a lot better than people expected. And now I think they're, you know, kind of in the spot that most people thought they would eventually be, with Rondo not fitting in, Wade starting to cool off. You know, Jimmy Butler has been great. He's been probably better than people expected. But it's finally kind of starting, the lack of continuity, I guess, with those three guards is finally starting to show. And it's very, very difficult what's going to happen to predict, I should say, what's going to happen with Rajon Rondo going forward. I mean, he's pretty much unrosterable at this point in season-long formats. But, you know, if he's traded somewhere to a team willing to give him a chance, then all of a sudden that value, especially in the assist categories, you know, goes right back up.
You mentioned McDermott. You mentioned Michael Carter-Williams. I'm just wondering your take on this, because with Butler out, with Wade out, it also means that those guys are responsible, as you said, for facilitating the offense, but they also draw better defenders and focus on them. So is that something that you worry about when you're playing these guys that are thrust into roles that dictate they'll have more minutes?
Yeah, I mean, it's something to consider. Certainly, you know, you kind of reallocate, you know, all right, who would have been guarding Jimmy Butler, who would have been guarding Dwayne Wade? You know, maybe they take on the responsibility of an MCW or a Jerrion Grant, even a Denzel Valentine, who should see increased minutes, assuming he's able to play. But you know, at the same time, I think when you're losing two guys of that caliber, you know, there's just the production has to be replaced somewhere. You know, the Bulls aren't going to come out and score 65 points tonight, most likely. So, you know, I think if Carter Williams is playing 35 plus minutes, if Jerrion Grant's playing 30 plus minutes, they're going to find a way to get theirs. It might not be the most efficient. There might be some turnovers. The Bulls might not win the game. But at the same time, I mean, these are NBA players. And I think when they're given the minutes, we've kind of seen time and time again that a lot of guys you don't necessarily think about as being productive, when they're given the opportunity, they can certainly be just that. You know, over the weekend, a guy like Willie Reed in Brooklyn, you know, putting up a huge game, somebody that the casual NBA fan had probably never even heard of.
I really want to see something from Mirotić. He's from a season-long standpoint, he's pretty frustrating because he doesn't get the playing time, and when he gets it, he seems to like put up some decent numbers. He does have that potential. So Nick, let's get you out of here on this. Which stud are you feeling tonight? Because there's some tough matchups. We got the Greek Freak in San Antonio, we got the Cavs in Utah, excuse me. So there's some tough matchups, some slow-paced games. James Harden, Ashley mentioned the total. Is it Harden, Cousins, Wall? Where are you leaning tonight for that stud that you want to have in your lineups?
Yeah, it's tough. I think probably DeMarcus Cousins. I like the matchup with Andre Drummond. I mean, as productive as Drummond is on the offensive end, he's kind of regressed, I think, this season defensively. And he's not a guy that you necessarily want chasing DeMarcus Cousins around the perimeter. I mean, that's a part of Cousins' game that Drummond doesn't really have. I mean, he's still a guy who pretty much has to operate within 7 to 8 feet. Cousins, you know, has shown probably better than ever this season his ability to take defenders off the dribble, starting outside the key, finish around the lane. So I do like that matchup for DeMarcus Cousins. Usually I'd be all over Giannis. I mean, this is a guy who hasn't scored fewer than 20 points in over a calendar month. But the matchup against San Antonio isn't great. He did play well against the Spurs in their first meeting earlier this season. That one was in Milwaukee. A little bit different playing on the road at San Antonio. And Giannis was sick over the weekend. You got to wonder if he's going to be at 100%. So, you know, not going to tell you to stay away from Giannis necessarily, but I don't think we're going to look back and see this as one of his, you know, better games over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we may even find out that he's just matchup proof, and he's just
he really might be getting to that point. I mean, it's unbelievable the ascent that he's made, you know, not only this season but just in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I unbelievable. I think he's just going to even get better too.
He's got to get new business cards printed. Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo, matchup proof.
matchup proof.
All right, Nick, we got to get you out of here. Thank you so much. I will talk to you again soon. Okay.
Of course, guys. Thanks.
See ya. Right, and care. I like his point about Drummond not being able to chase DeMarcus Cousins, because Boogie takes about 5 3-point shots every single game. Yeah. And if he's going to have that extra time with Drummond, like lackluster and really reluctantly, like, oh, I guess I'll go to the perimeter and put a hand up, then I think he's going to
really
have a good game.
He's really developed that part of his game, which is nice. Cousins, he's a fun player to watch.
It's a trend in the NBA, and if the big guys can't go out to the perimeter, what are they doing in the league? Trending down. They're trending down. All right, we're going to hit the links in just a few moments. We're going to talk to Pat Perry of the Tour Junkies. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome back, I guess I should say. We're hitting the links now, as promised, and our favorite guys, the Tour Junkies, have decided to join us on a weekly basis. We're going to alternate, though. So today we're talking to Pat Perry, and he's going to break down the Sony Open for us as the golf season is now in full swing. Hi, Pat.
How are y'all? Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is the first full event this year. So we finally, you know, last week we got to toy around a little bit with some DFS, but now we get a full field event. We're at Wailea Country Club this week for the Sony Open. Wailea is just a good old classic course. It's the only course they've ever played this event on since 1965. So we definitely have some course history here for a lot of guys. They played the sixth easiest course on tour last year, but you got to hit fairways. You got to be accurate off the tee. It was the 12th hardest as far as fairways to hit. You know, one of the things I'm focused on too is greens and regulation. If you look at the last 15 winners here, 12 of those were in the top 10 in greens and regulation. So, you know, those are, you got to hit greens, you got to be a ball striker, and looking forward to a good week.
Pat, I just want to really know your strategy. You touched on some of the key stats that you're really looking for this weekend, but I want to know your strategy with last week. It was, you know, we talked to David about, you know, stars and scrubs. With this one, so many people in the field and cuts. Are you looking at course history, or are you looking at just recent success? I mean, Hideki Matsuyama has been unbelievable. I mean, 3 wins, 2 seconds, but at this course, he's only broken par twice out of 9 rounds. Is that something that you just kind of throw out the window because of the recent success he's just had overall?
Exactly, Chris. Actually, anybody that listens to our show knows that one of the biggest things that I pay attention to is course history and recent form. But for Hideki this week, I'm throwing that out the window. I mean, the guy has just been on an incredible run. I mean, if you look at his last 4 starts, he's had a couple seconds and also a win. Hideki, to me, I'm just throwing out what his past history is here. I think this course sets up well for him. He's a totally different player than you saw in the few years before when he's played on this course. So, you know, I like Hideki. He's my top guy in the over 10 range. There's only 3 guys up there. I can't really fade any of them. Spieth, you know, obviously a good play, and JT's coming off of a win. But to me, Hideki is still my favorite, and I'm going to play him in a lot of lineups this week.
What about someone like Paul Casey? He shot a career low 62 at Wailea, but that was in 2015, and he's had some rest since October. What kind of form do you think he's going to be in?
He's in great recent form. I mean, Paul Casey, it's a good price for him at 9,500. I mean, you look at his last 4 events, he's had 4 straight top 5 finishes. You can't ask for better than that as far as recent form. He's got good course history here. He checks the box for us on strokes gained approach, which we're looking at along with greens and regulation, and scoring. He's a great scorer, as you mentioned. He's had a 62 before on here. So, again, Paul Casey is a good play. I also, you know, really like Justin Rose in this category. I think he's going to be a good GPP play this week. He's coming off of an injury, so I don't think a whole lot of people are going to be on him. I think his ownership's going to be low. But, again, another guy with good course history here. I think I would definitely play Rose in some GPP lineups.
Yeah, I like that strategy of just, like, trying to pick some guys who are low-key with Justin Rose. Yeah. Is a great one. Is there any mid-tier guys that maybe just you feel safe in, like, cash plays, cash tournaments?
Well, I think there's 2 guys that I love for cash play this week, and they're right there at the middle range, right in the 7,000s. You got Charles Howell at 7,800. I mean, Charles has played this tournament 15 times. He's made 15 cuts. He's got 8 top 10s here. To me, there's not a more solid cash play than you could go with this week than Charles Howell. He's very safe, and he's going to allow you to fit in a Hideki and some of those other top guys, Casey, that we talked about earlier. I love Howell this week. Also, Harris English, I think, is a great play. He's played here 3 times. He's had 3 top 10s on this course, so he's never missed the cut. He recently switched back to his old Ping irons, which he won 2 tournaments with, so I like that. And he's actually my one and done pick for the week. Ooh. So I'm going with Harris English as my one and done. He is a good cash play.
Yeah, I like that call about going back to the ping clubs where he's had success. One of them was at the OHL Classic, and that doesn't bode well for, I guess, Callaway. You know what I mean? If people aren't winning with your clubs, and then they go back to ping and they have all the success in the world. Yeah. We quickly have about 30 seconds. Talk to me about Jordan Spieth. What do you think about him?
I think Spieth is going to have a good week. Again, he's kind of like Hideki. He hasn't had the greatest course history here, but again, he's just next level, just like Hideki. I want to mention 2 guys real quick, Wesley Bryan and Henrik Norlander. You need to look at the web.com graduates this week because not a lot of people are going to be on them. Nobody knows about them. Both those 2 guys are in great recent form. So I think you really need to pay attention to some of the newer guys on tour, especially early on in the season before DraftKings catches up to these guys and prices them higher.
Ooh, I like Norlander.
Yeah, that's very smart. Thank you so much, Pat. That's why we have you on the show all the time, because you guys know what's up. We got to get out of here, but we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck in all your lineups this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. May your screens be green.
That's right.
Thank you.
Enjoy the golf, Pat.
Yeah, so 12 of the last 18 winners at the Sony Open played in the SBS the week before.
Yeah, and it's hard to go back-to-back.
It's tough,
but I do like Justin Thomas a little bit.
I like you, Chris. We'll see you again tomorrow. Yeah? See you later.